This is the Geek Dads, the podcast of GeekDad.com on the Wired Blog Network. This is episode 30, Philip's Head Entry Wound.
Hello again, everybody. You have found it. It's the Geek Dads, episode number 30. And I'm Ken Denmead, editor of GeekDad.com. Another beautiful Tuesday night, and we've got a good crew of the Geek Dads. First, I'm going to say hello to Mr. Brian Little tonight. How are you doing, Brian?
Doing well. Just kind of hanging out. Not a lot going on.
Okay. All
right. Weather's started to turn cool, so it's things are mostly inside, and what's outside is mostly soccer right now.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, it's getting that way here a little bit too, finally. But we're still playing some Little League. It's actually a fall. They're doing this little sort of fall stopgap Little League, so any kids that want to keep their skills up and going. But it's fairly loose. They're not keeping scores. But the level that they're doing it at, my son's now gotten to try pitching a couple times. And he's having a great time at that, so. They call it fall ball.
Wow. Yeah. That's inconceivable.
Yeah. That just seems odd to me.
Yeah, it works. Kids are having fun. Mr. Matt Blum, we heard your voice. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty well, Ken. I'm a little disappointed because I'm a Red Sox fan, but...
Oh.
You know. But only a little bit. They can't win it every year.
You know, so. No. Or every decade or every...
Well, they won it last year.
Half century? Maybe one per half century. We'll let them have.
Matt, if it makes you feel any better, I've been an Orioles fan since I was a little kid, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The only time I see the Orioles is when I, because I live in the D.C. area, so I go up to Baltimore when the Red Sox are in town.
Could be worse. I could be a Cubs fan.
Yeah, that's true. At least the Cubs actually made the playoffs, though.
Yeah, but given their history,
that's torture, though, isn't it?
I'd rather root for a team that just doesn't make it than to see him go that far and go, ah.
Oh, the torture. This could be the year. Wah, wah, wah,
no. No. Maybe next year. Next year's our year.
The exit Cubs, sound of Pac-Man dying.
If the Red Sox could break their curse, the Cubs, 86 years, but... But it's been longer for the Cubs, so
Okay. Well, yeah. And I've got A's and Giants around here who once in a while show some flash, but otherwise are just, mediocre. Say lovey. Sorry. Anyway.
Wow.
As I said, the iPhone's good for many things.
Our production values either just went up a notch or down. I'm not sure which.
Oh, jeez.
I'm going to turn this into the morning zoo broadcast. Yeah.
Yeah. Ken, step away from the iPhone.
Hold on while I switch tapes. Okay. Mr. Neumeier, how are you?
I'm doing all right. You guys were talking about it being chilly. I'm sure I got you guys locked. It's presently 38 degrees where I'm at. So, we're feeling the cold. The leaves are nearly past their peak color, so fall is firmly entrenched here.
Real seasons.
Real seasons, not the fake ones that you get out on the West Coast.
Exactly. That's fantastic. That is cool. All right. Well, first thing we have to take care of this evening, I guess we can take some solace in the fact that it has taken us until episode 30 to have to do this, but we are going to issue an apology tonight to all of our listeners, whether or not you were disgruntled by it, but in episode 29, sort of close to the beginning, I made a mistake, and I brought up a political or a politically related topic, and we got a little snarky, some biases were made or laid bare in that snarkiness, and honestly, inappropriate for the podcast. We got a little chuckle out of it, and it was, you know, that was who we were. But I have always tried, and hopefully the rest of the guys I think have too, to keep everything we write on Geek Dad and hopefully what we talk about on the podcast as, you know, stay away from the third rails. No politics, no religion, and only a little bit of ribbing over sports. And we sort of, without thinking about it, we stepped across that line last week, and I did get an email from a longtime listener and a guy who is really a fan. And so that's what sort of makes it, you know, even worse was this is someone who really appreciates what we do and listens actively and subscribed and all that. And we, you know what, we angered him, or we, you know, we made him feel bad about that, or, you know, pissed him off a little bit. And I never want to do that to our listeners. I want to make sure that, you know, Geek Dad is neutral on all that stuff. Geek Dad is about who we are as geeks and our relationship with our kids and our, you know, our whole families, and realistically, all of that should be independent about opinions on touchy subjects like politics and like religion and such. And so, if we can avoid talking about those, we should, and we didn't. And so this is a formal apology for me as editor and as the guy who sort of steers this podcast around, that it was a mistake on my part. And hopefully we are going to do our best to avoid ever having something like that come up again. We will, you know, we're not perfect. We're just a bunch of guys. And every now and then we throw some snark around. But we totally appreciate the email that we got. And we wholeheartedly appreciate or apologize to anyone else who may have been nonplussed by that little episode of political snark. So hopefully we haven't lost too many listeners because of that, and hopefully you guys will hopefully folks will stick with us no matter what their outlooks are about those subjects. And does anyone else want to say anything else about that, or what do you think?
I don't even remember what we said.
The Star Trek. It started with the Star Trek characters. You know, who would the political candidates be as Star Trek characters?
Right.
Oh, I'll be honest with you. I work in one of those places where people do talk about it, and so it really rolls off me. So, and you know, that's no defense or anything. It just, I don't even notice.
Yeah. No, it's true. I honestly had to go back and think about it, but once I thought about it and read what our listener said, it's like, you know what? Yeah, he's right. That was, you know, we've tried so hard in the past not to dive into that sort of thing, and it probably would come across as a little bit shocking and a little bit denigrating to the folks that are of a certain political persuasion. So best to steer clear. And our apologies for crossing that center line. Is that right, guys?
Yep.
Okay. Moving on. I get, you know, at least there was some balance to the week. We got our first complaint about something we did on the podcast, but Geek Dad earned itself a rather cool accolade this week. And that was, if you might have seen the post I threw up last weekend when we found out about it, but we were named it was an opinion piece, so I'm not sure where that ranks on, you know, officialness, but on the Computer World website, and Computer World magazine has been around for I don't know how long. I mean, 20 years, 30 years? I remember the thick old Computer World from back in the, I don't know, Osborne days or whatever, but
I've been in IT almost 15 years, and I think I remember it nearly the entire time. So
yeah, so pretty darn cool that we got named to a list of 10 of the 10 best written blogs on the internet. And number one, I was, you know, struck with incredulity until I actually saw the thing on their website. And, you know, it was the story of the day on the front of computerworld.com. And yeah. I mean, holy Toledo. This has been the most remarkable year in many ways of my life in terms of what has happened with this blog and where it has come with the input of all these, you know, of all you wonderful guys. And to have something like this just suddenly happen is mind-bogglingly cool.
According to their website, Computer World's been around for 40 years.
40.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's wow. And so, and the funny story behind that is that I had gotten an email request, and it must have been about a month and a half or 2 months ago, actually by a staffer at Computer World on behalf of the guy who was writing it, just asking for a blurb about writing blogs. And that's that slightly convoluted paragraph that you see, that quote in the post, that now that I look at it first, there's a couple of hyphens and commas I would have liked to add just so it reads a little more clearly. But so, you know, I had tossed that out there having no idea what was behind what was being done with the words I was writing, and honestly had completely forgotten about it. And when I was sitting on Twitter, and I think it was Mike Harrison, you know, discovered it. Was it Mike or was it you, Matt?
It was me, but actually it was Steve Swanson, the guy who does the Muppet Cast.
Yeah.
Who we've exchanged a couple emails, and he sent me an email mentioning it.
Oh, okay.
And so I went there, and then I tweeted about it.
That was, yeah. I was like, what? And so, the complete surprise and totally cool. I mean, guys, we were put on a list with Roger Ebert, who has always been a strong writer. I think he's really gotten interesting over the last couple of years with what he's been doing sort of post the movie review show. He's been actually writing a lot of interesting political commentary.
That's true.
And
interestingly enough, Ebert just today issued his own mea culpa for something he did recently on his blog.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He wrote a review of True Loved, which I have not seen, or
right.
I didn't even read the review. But apparently he revealed at the end of the review that he had only watched 8 minutes of the movie. And he said at 8 minutes, he paused it and looked down at his notes and he said, "That's my review. I don't even want to see the rest of it."
Oh, my goodness.
And against his editor's advice, published it. And published an accompanying blog entry that basically said, you know, here's what I did and why I did it. What do you think? And 500 comments.
Wow.
Cited in some places as some of the best commentary on a blog entry people had ever seen. And he actually issued an apology today saying he wished now that he had not published the review. He wished he'd gone back. And he did go back and watch the movie. But so even the big ones goof.
Yeah. And it was totally awesome that I left a comment to the story on Computer World, and then Roger Ebert left a comment on the story to Computer World too. As you know, we sort of thanked the folks, and so you know, it's like, wow, like one step of separation. We and Roger Ebert commented on the same post that was about us.
And fake Steve Jobs was on the list. Yeah.
And fake Steve Jobs was on the list. Although I actually miss fake Steve Jobs. Even real Dan, you know, is fine, but it was so much more fun with that little bit of mystery and whimsy.
Oh, yeah.
And savage levels of snark. But speaking of for all us Mac fans, huge quarterly results today. But anyway. So I don't know. There's probably not much more to say about that before we Trump into the realm of self-congratulatoriness, self-congratulations, something like that. But that was totally awesome. So, other than that, we didn't have a huge ton. We've got some really good posts to talk about. We didn't have a whole lot of rant ideas for today. However, there was one important thing that that Russ is taking the lead on, and we might be a little bit late getting this out there, but doggone it, we're going to do it. And so, Russ, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay. Hey, we've been tossing around different ideas for contests for a while. The last one was in the spring, and we decided that the end of October, running up to Halloween, is just a great time for another contest. And so details will be coming on a post shortly to Geek Dad. But really what we're looking for, very simply, you and your kids carving a pumpkin, taking a digital picture of it, posting it to the Geek Dad Flickr pool, and then the Geek Dads are going to, we'll have them tagged with Geek Dad and Halloween 08, and Geek Dads will rate them, and we'll have first, second, and third prizes, a few honorable mention prizes, and what we're also going to do is we're going to do a Reader's Choice Prize, and so we're going to encourage everyone to go out and look at the photos tagged Geek Dad and Halloween 08, and leave comments. And we'll judge the reader's choice based on the number of comments left, because I don't think you can favorite in a Flickr pool.
Not in the Flickr pool, but Russ, we could always use the poll tool.
Oh yeah, we could do that. That probably would be better. So yeah. We'll work out the fine details for the reader's choice before the end of the month, but. Long story short, you know, between now and the 29th of October, take a picture of the pumpkin that you and your kids have carved. Be creative, have fun, and post it to Flickr and in the Flickr pool and tag it. And some pretty neat prizes are coming down the way. We're going to have some fun things for the kids to stick in their room, astronomy related things. We're going to have some stuff from Wizards of the Coast with Magic the Gathering starter packs and things like that. Kobold Quarterly is getting involved. So we've got some pretty neat prizes coming down for those that participate and those that win. But look for more details. We're still finalizing the prizes, but I promise you that tonight I will have a post up announces the contest and gives some of the basic details, and we'll finalize the prizes in the next day or two.
Okay. Hey, Russ, we haven't discussed this, but Juan in the chat room asks, what if they, I'm assuming he means the kids, are too young to carve? I would suggest that there is obviously some leeway there. If the kids at least help scoop out the innards, or you actually just take a picture showing, you know, if the kid's like a baby, just, you know, showing the kid from the back for privacy's sake, if you don't want to show pictures of your kids online, from the back, you know, reaching into the pumpkin as part of the effort. That's fun, you know.
Dropping pumpkin goo on top of their heads.
There you go.
Goo in their hands, yeah. You know, stuff like that. We're dads. We understand that you don't want to give a sharp knife to a two-year-old and let it go from there, or so.
We sincerely hope not, anyway.
Right, and yeah.
Maybe the chainsaw, but not the sharp knife.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and remember, guys, we are nothing if not, you know, fairly easy about this kind of thing. We're not hardcore about this. We want our readers to have, our listeners and readers to have fun and have it be something about doing a project with your kids.
Absolutely. And if that's as simple as them just squishing the pumpkin seeds while you're carving, you know, and we get it.
And Juan comments back, cool, yes, making a helmet out of pumpkin is a must.
There you go. See, that's what bathtubs are for after the pumpkin carving is complete.
Yeah, and all the little fibery stuff in the seeds get caught in the trap, and then Dad has to become a plumber, and you know.
Yep.
That's what small hairless children are for, is putting fruit helmets on.
Yeah, but the seeds.
Because when they get older and they have hair down to their shoulders, then it's a problem.
That's true. You can't waste the seeds though. They're too good. They're too good to waste. You got to roast them, right?
Yeah. Well, we should also ask for recipes for roasted pumpkin seeds.
Yeah, we should.
I think the stock.
I've got a great one actually.
Is just salt them and bake them for a little while. But there are probably people that have all sorts of fantastic recipes. You know, family recipes.
Yeah.
I do something with cayenne and coriander. It's really
good. Ooh.
Nice.
Also,
any soup or pie recipes with what you cut out, right? Use the pumpkin.
Well,
I think you usually have to use a pie pumpkin for that.
Yeah, you don't want to use a big pumpkin for pie.
Besides,
you probably wouldn't be cutting out enough to make a pie.
Probably not. Well, you get an extra butternut for the bulk, and then, you know.
I guess that's true. Actually, my daughter had gotten a pumpkin from a school field trip.
Yeah.
We went to a pumpkin patch, and it was a pie pumpkin. So we made a pie out of it this past weekend.
Awesome.
Oh.
Real fresh.
Welcome to Cooking with Geeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, well, otherwise it's just going to sit around and rot, you know. So
yeah.
It was too small to carve. So I was like, you know, why waste it?
Oh, and I have just marked down the first title idea of the night for the podcast. Fruit Helmet.
Aren't pumpkins technically vegetables?
Pumpkin helmet. Something like that. We'll figure it out.
All right.
That's the contest that's coming. I'm hoping that we'll have lots of participation. I mean, it's the kind of the peak pumpkin carving time. So look for details, and we'll be finalizing prizes in the next day or two.
Excellent. Thank you for heading that up for us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
To be clear, the fruit helmet thing came from doing it with watermelons in the summer. So.
Okay.
Or cantaloupes if you have a very small child.
Orange peels for the little babies? No.
No, you do that for cats.
Oh, there you go.
Well, actually, I'm remembering there's this is totally off topic here, but there was a book, one of Chuck Jones, the animator. One of his autobiographies, he describes one of the cats he grew up with.
Chuck-a-monk.
I think it was that one. It was one of his, I think it was that book, yeah. The cat's name was Johnson. And Johnson used to, he loved grapefruit. So you'd just roll a grapefruit across the floor to him, and he would like stick a claw in, peel it back, and then stick his head in and eat it. All of the flesh. Until the rind was in fact sitting on his head like a helmet, and then he would march around with it around the house.
Hey, any of you guys fans of Woot?
Sure.
Yes.
Yep.
Just got a sly sneaky email from Woot that says, you know, Woot Incorporated internal email staff eyes only, basically warning us that there's a Woot off starting tonight at midnight.
Yeah.
And to explain for any of our listeners, is there anyone in the chat room who hasn't heard of Woot? We'll see if we get any responses. But for anyone who doesn't know Woot.com, it's sort of the best short attention span online commerce site that's out there. With the simple concept is they sell one thing per day until they run out of it, and it can be anywhere from little frog-themed basement, water sensors for places where you have basements and sometimes you get floods.
Today it's laser levels.
It's what is it?
Laser levels.
Laser
two pack.
Up to, you know, big screen TVs and computers and tools of many types. They also
Dyson
vacuums. We got
big screen
TV. A Dyson vacuum. We bought our Dyson vacuum through Woot. And they also have two associated sites. They've got shirt.woot.com and wine.woot.com, where, as you can guess, they sell a shirt a day or a selection of wine per day.
The wine is actually per week. But
oh, it's per week? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But it's usually fairly good deals on some nice wine.
Yeah, I've got some good stuff from there.
But every once in a while, and it's seeming like it's coming almost quarterly these days, they do a Woot off, where for the period of
It's not what it sounds like.
Yeah. For the period of something like, 48 hours? It depends upon how things go. They will sell item after item. Whatever quantity they have, they sell it until it's gone and then move on to the next item on their list. They don't tell you what's on the list. And so, you know, what perfect way to generate, you know, click through ad revenue by, you know, people literally sit there or people and click their refresh waiting for new things to come up. And yeah. Or there are dozens of websites and feeder services and stuff that report on when something comes up and how quantities, you know, what quantities are left of items on Woot. And but it's fun. It's I don't know how else to put it, because sometimes you never know what you're gonna get. And of course, in usually close to the last thing they'll do is the bag of. Well, we're trying to keep
language.
I think
language. You could say it.
What's that? You think we could say it?
It's not that bad.
Okay, the bag of crap, which is, and these go, I mean, the moment you see it, you try and click to buy it, and you know, whether you get lucky or not and actually get through the servers to get it. But I think it's usually $1, and you can order up to 3. And more often than not, what is in them is actually some sort of, you know, crappy old toy or something that was, whatever was left over. They might have slightly undersold, so they've got a whole bunch of silly things like the frog moisture sensors or whatever. But they also love to throw in, just for random joy, something like a 60-inch television every now and then. So what it is, you buy this bag of crap for $1 with no idea what's in it. And, you know, a week later, whatever it is shows up on your doorstep.
The other cool thing is that shipping is always $5.
Yes, no matter what you get, shipping is $5. So if you get that TV, you bought the bag for $1 and you paid $5 for the shipping. So $6, you might get a TV delivered to your house. So that was an unintended ad for Woot.com, but it's sort of a joy to many of us geeks and geek dads.
Yes.
I mean, what have some of you guys gotten off there?
I'm trying to remember what the last
coffee maker.
Poorly. What have you purchased from the website?
Coffee machine, bread machine. Let's see.
I've only bought occasionally. Now I cannot remember what the last thing I got was.
Yeah, last we got was the Dyson vacuum, which we still got for a price that's something like $40 or $50 cheaper than I've ever seen anywhere retail around here. And I don't know, a few other things. We bought a heart monitor at one point.
Yeah, that's exactly what I got. It was a Reebok heart monitor for like $20.
Yeah. Yeah, our younger son had something called Wolf Parkinson White syndrome when he was 2 months old.
Hmm.
And which was it caused an arrhythmia in his heart, and he arrested and got to spend 2 weeks in ICU at Stanford, and so mom and dad, being paranoid for the rest of his life, had made sure we had a heart monitor in the house. He's fine. He's been fine for the last, you know, 7 years and however many months. And the idea is, if it ever comes back, it'll be when he starts going through puberty. But. That's the idea. But yeah, I mean, it's the random stuff that you will find on there is rather random, but it's always fun to wake up in the morning and check it and see what the new thing is. Actually everything goes on, it goes up at midnight central time, whatever the next day's Woot is in the regular cycle. So here, you know, I'm on the West Coast, so we can check it at 10 o'clock before I go to bed to see what the new thing is.
Yeah, I hate it. I have to stay up till 1 if I, you know, have to check it.
Guess I won't be getting any sleep this evening.
The Woot Off is starting. and always listen to the theme for the Woot Off.
Oh, yes.
The song is funny. And
Money, why are you still up? I'm wooting. Oh, I don't want to hear about that.
No. Yeah. And the write-ups are always hilarious.
Yes.
Oh, I love them.
Whatever they do, you know, and the imagination that's gone into them, and they do so many of them. It's just really funny. So it's interesting. It's fun just to go and read the write-ups for everything that they're selling.
They are paying us for this, right?
They are. I wish. Yeah, we each get a bag of crap.
And if you like wine, definitely check out wine.woot.
Yeah.
They got some good stuff.
Well, I got
follow them on Twitter.
I still love Trader Joe's, so. I get my
wine. Trader Joe's, too. A little behind.
Trader Joe's, isn't that where you can get $2 Chuck?
Exactly so.
Yeah, it's more like $3 now, but it's not very good, honestly.
It beat out, there was some. Yeah, some news article. Several.
Merlot won a gold medal at some New York festival about 2 years ago.
Really?
It was hilarious. Oh, the people were just going gaga because the Trader Joe's the $2 Chuck Merlot. I think it was the Merlot won the gold medal over wines that cost 10, 20, 30 times more.
Yeah.
And it's a halfway decent blend. I mean, they're all simple blends. There's nothing really fancy about them, but they tend to be a cut above some of the Gallo and whatever you get out there. And you can get a case for the price of one or two bottles of some other stuff.
Plus, they have some genuinely good other wines too.
Oh, they do, and all the prices are within $3 to $20.
And the one near me, at least, has been having tastings every single day this past week.
Oh, fantastic!
So fantastic. I've been taking advantage of that.
Wow, we've totally got off in this whole commerce discussion. I don't know.
We're running out of time. We must be getting reel
us back in.
Yeah, time to suck it back in, guys. I think we need to get to talking about Post of the Week. And so, I'm gonna go to Brian first.
I enjoyed Matt's post on wish kisses. For those of you who didn't see it, the idea is basically that. And Matt can follow up and correct me here, but as I understand it, the idea is that as you tell your child good night, you give them an imaginary gift. I don't have the web browser up, and I can't remember any of the ones you said. Give me an example of what you were talking about, Matt.
I think the ones I mentioned. I mean, it can be just about anything. Like I gave my son a lightsaber just after he got started getting really into Star Wars. A lightsaber that he could have lightsaber fights with, but couldn't actually like hurt himself with. And I said the only thing it would actually hit was another lightsaber. Everything else it would just pass right through.
And they give you something back as well, something equally imaginative. I just love small ideas like that are just pure imagination stimulators. Nothing else. I think that is a wonderful way to end the day.
Yeah, awesome. we only usually do it twice a week because otherwise you run out of ideas.
Yeah.
I'm giving you an imaginary bag of crap. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. No, I enjoyed that.
Thanks, Dad.
Dad, is there a 60-inch TV with this one?
Yeah.
Yes, an imaginary one.
Yeah. Sure, as long as it's imaginary.
That's right. No, I really enjoyed that. And because that was short, the other post I really liked recently was the ABC 3D. I liked that so much I went out and ordered it for my daughter immediately.
Oh, awesome. Go ahead.
She already knows her ABCs, but I really enjoy, in this particular respect, the idea of learning to look at things a different way and teaching her that sort of abstraction. It's like, look, it's an O, now it's a Q.
I know that book caught a lot of people's imagination. Because I mean, that was weird, because I had originally posted about that back in March when it sort of got previewed. And I remember that post got picked up by Gizmodo. And so we got a ton of hits out of that. And now now the book is finally shipped.
Yeah, Corey or Zenny or one of the guys over at one of the folks over at Boing Boing posted about the same time we did, and made the really astute comment that this is something that could only exist as a book. It wouldn't be the same if you tried to do it in any other way,
right?
Because it's not just the visual aspect of it; it's the tactile and interactive aspect. So,
in a way, though, that it's the artistic. The artisticness of it, or artistry of it, sort of ties into that post today too, or yesterday. Tiffany Ard's work and those beautiful illustrations of the alphabet that she does.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, just some really neat stuff, and I'm glad a lot of people enjoyed it and are going out to get it.
Well, plus, I mean, it's a pop-up book, so it's a gadget.
Yes.
It's a little paper gadget.
It's true.
Okay. Well, that was excellent. Mr. Blum, how about you?
Well, let me just find it again. I was going to talk about... Hang on a second. Sorry about that. The show Prototype This on the Discovery Channel, I had posted a preview of it because the folks there were kind enough to send me a screener. I just think it's a really cool show. I mean, they managed to keep the sort of fun, you know, tinkering around with things and building things from scratch stuff that Mythbusters does, and yet have it be different enough that it's not just, you know, repeating the same thing.
Right.
And you know, the idea of the show is that they have a task to do to make basically a device that doesn't exist, or, you know, not in that form, and they only have a short time to do it with to do it in. And they got some really brilliant guys to work on this. I mean, they, you know, two of them have PhDs, and you know, one of them is a special effects wizard, you know, just like Adam and Jamie are on Mythbusters, and one of them is actually an experienced hardware hacker. And they just they have a lot of fun doing it, and I had a blast watching it. My son wanted to watch it like over and over again. You know, they use a lot of creativity, and they do a lot of the fun little interludes the way Mythbusters does. You know, like, they had a really cool thing on the first episode. I'm really anxiously looking forward to the next episode tomorrow night. That is Wednesday night. Because in the first episode they had a bit explaining how threaded programming works. And as a programmer myself, that was really cool that they were able to. I thought it was really cool they were able to explain it in a way that non-programmers really could understand. I mean, my son seemed to really get it, and you know, he's not even 8 yet. So
that is very cool.
Yeah,
I know we've got it TiVo'd. We haven't gotten to sit down and watch it with the boys yet.
Yeah, you'll like it a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, like Discovery is quickly becoming one of my go-to channels. You know, when I feel like there's nothing on, that's quickly becoming one of the first places I go to see what's on.
Yeah, but there are some real clunkers too.
Oh,
Smash Lab is awful.
Yeah, yeah. I tried watching it because it looked like fun, and I just couldn't. It was just.
I watched half of the first episode, and that was it.
Yeah.
8 minutes of it, in fact.
Yeah, sometimes these guys, they're just throwing up to see what, you know, throwing things on the wall to see what sticks. Well, Juan says ditto for Cash Cab.
Yes. Oh, God, that's lame.
Yeah. It's every now and then I'll tune in, you know, I'll put it on for late and like in the background because it can be kind of amusing, but it's not something I can just sit and watch. And, incidentally, I heard that Dirty Jobs, which I also like a lot. They're going to have an election night special where they're going to have like things about like dirty secrets of past presidents.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We'll have to be careful. Oh, we should probably let people know for the folks that listen. And we are probably going to not do the recording in 2 weeks on Tuesday night because that will be election night. We'll probably record this a day early. I'll try and put a notice up on the blog to let, you know, the folks that like to come listen to the live stream to know that. We'll probably record it a day early and then release it on the normal time Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. All right. Hey, Russ. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think we should change the proposed title from Fruit Helmet to Woot Helmet.
Woot Helmet?
Woot Helmet. There you go.
I like that.
All right. It's on the list.
What are you doing? Wearing my Woot helmet. I'm trying to go to sleep.
Yeah. Then Woot should totally pay us money for putting their name on the blog.
Oh, no, that's exactly. A busted. Can't do it.
Dog on it. Hey, Russ.
Yes, sir.
Before I either tell you to do your post or I do my post, did you notice, did you get an email today, this afternoon, from a person involved with O'Reilly?
Yes, I did.
Does it look to you like it looks to me?
I think so. I think it is. Ken and I have O'Reilly does an emerging tech conference, and there's one coming up in March 2009, and one of the areas was geek families. Yeah, it was geek families, and so Ken and I talked, and we've submitted the framework for a one of the breakout sessions, and it's in review, and it apparently sounds like they want to clarify a couple things, but it seems like I would imagine that the geek family area is one of those areas that probably didn't get tons and tons of submissions, but
right.
At the same time, you know, there's some people that this blog was founded by some people that run in those circles, so you know, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah,
we'll
I just got that tonight. It came in tonight for me, but I haven't had a chance to respond or look at my calendar yet. But
So we'll keep everybody apprised. But there is a chance. I mean, the way they phrased the email, it sounded like they wanted to have a good discussion with us about what we were thinking.
Yeah.
About doing so, it at least feels positive to me. Like they're interested in having us present at this conference.
Yeah, which would be cool.
Which would be really. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
And of course, Russ, you're gonna have to fly out here, but.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll start saving up my money now.
Okay. That would be because it's in San Jose, I believe. So.
Yes, it is.
But this would just be totally awesome. So Geek Dad would be represented at the O'Reilly Emerging Technology Conference.
Yep.
And hopefully we'd get to have a little bit of fun with our presentation, because I think, you know.
So, I think we'd have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You know, I'll go before Russ.
Juan says congratulations.
Juan says, thank you.
Thank you.
We will let you guys know what it really evolves into, but it's sounding like a real strong possibility. So, fingers are crossed. I'm going to do mine real quick, and we're going to, I guess... Matt's getting all the attention this time around, especially because he two posts that he's done in the last 2 weeks have both did really well on Dig and were a lot of fun. And he started out with the 10 best geek characters in mainstream movies, and then did the 10 best mainstream characters in geeky movies. The idea, obviously, being is for example, the geek characters in mainstream movies, it was movies that weren't necessarily really solidly geeky movies, but that that had characters in them who were either stereotypes or some sort of caricature of a geek, or that was the point of the character, was that they were the, quote, geek, unquote, character. And, you know, the list is Anthony Michael Hall's geek from 16 Candles, Doc Brown, Indiana Jones. I liked Belle from Beauty and the Beast. That was really, that was excellent sort of pointing out that, that's exactly, she was this bookish person walking around, you know, with her nose in a book reading all the time. And,
see, that makes her a nerd. Her dad was the geek.
Oh, that's right, because he was sort of an inventor, wasn't he?
He wasn't as major a character.
Okay. And I'll give you a kudos for the Will Wheaton plug by picking Geordi from Stand By Me. And
Geordi. Yeah.
I really love, well, I, you know, Geordi, Geordi. It's all Star Trek. I totally applaud you for picking Richard Sumner from Desk.
No.
I love that movie. My wife loves that movie.
Oh, it's so awesome.
We usually watch it every year around the holidays.
Yeah, it's appropriate, yeah.
And it's just so much fun. Just so much fun.
So I love always love seeing the computer, you know.
Yeah, awesome computer. once again, probably you know, less powerful than we use on our smartphones.
Oh, much less, I'm sure. I also love the idea that if you take that one little thing that looks like a pen out of it, the whole thing breaks.
Yes, and it can be fixed with a hairpin.
Yes, of course. Aren't all computers that way?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, hey, I just got a lovely email from somebody at Ustream saying that noticed that we're streaming the podcast, and if we have any issues, they're always happy to help us. So.
Cool.
That's cool. Maisie, if you're actually listening, thank you very much. No problem. Or I'll email them back. That's kind of cool. Hey, we're getting noticed by our provider. So then conversely, I love doing the switcheroo and getting the 10 best mainstream characters I sort of call them the normals, you know, the in geeky movies. And I think, let's see, it was my favorite from that list would have to be, let me see, scrolling back up to it. Of course, I'm a big fan of Jane Cobb from Serenity.
Yeah, I had to put Jane.
And in Sorry? A way, I sort of would equate him with, because you've got Boromir in there also. In a way, very similar concept. They're both the jocks, you know. Maybe not the, you know, brightest swords in the scabbards, but I totally pegged Boromir like that. Though it's like he was the jock, and he didn't really understand all of the context within which he was, you know, living, what his mission was, and all that. And you know what was important about the ring, and you know why you shouldn't do certain things with it. He was just like, "Ooh, shiny, powerful tool. Let's pick it up and use it." And so I like that choice. As you know, he was the normal within the group of geeks. Of course, Winston Zeddemore, fantastic. Yeah. And
well, he has the best line in the movie. I mean,
he does. He's got one of those great geek movie quotes. You can't beat that one. So bravo, sir.
Thank you.
Were there any good comments left? Any ones that you wish you'd remembered?
Well, somebody suggested Han Solo, which I had considered him, but I don't know. Star Wars seems to me to be too mainstream of a movie. I mean, because they're some of the biggest blockbusters in history. Yeah. It's hard for me to consider them just a geeky movie, you know.
Right.
So I had considered him, but then he's definitely.
Ring, though, so.
Well, that's true, but it's still geeky. I'm sorry. It's, you know, because it was based on Lord of the Rings. You know what I'm saying?
I know, and I'm teasing because you know realistically, any list like that with. You know, where you can't draw the lines very clearly, where there's room for debate and discussion over it, you're going to get 1,000 different arguments from of where the line should be and who should be included. Because everyone's got their favorites.
Sure, absolutely.
So good job, sir.
Thank you.
And we'll go last to Russ. What do you got for us, Russ?
I'm going to talk about. Our Geek Moms post from Kathy Cesari on how to take microphotographs. You know, she's a homeschooling mom, and science is a big thing. She writes about it a lot, and you know, she posted some really neat pictures. And if you go to, you know, if you click through the link on the article, she's given step by step on how to do this out in the Wired How To Wiki. And, you know, the first thing she says is get a real microscope. You know, don't go with the Toys R Us microscope-shaped object, as she... you know, get a student-quality microscope. It doesn't have to be, you know, ultra-expensive. It just has to be really a true microscope. And then she's using a 5-year-old digital camera. And able to take some pictures. You know, they took some water from their goldfish pond out back from a local pond, they found it, you know, that there's a dead fly, and so they've taken these things and they've put them on their onto their slides and put them under the microscope and then use the digital camera to take some just really interesting pictures. And it's just amazing with, you know, a student quality microscope and a 5-year-old digital camera, what kind of pictures can come from this. And
Juan just had a good suggestion, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, I'm looking at the post, so I wasn't able to look at the chat. But
the school surplus stores sometimes have them for cheap.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it's just she laid it out really well. It's out in the wiki, the how-to wiki on Wired, and she's got some resources listed. And because it's a wiki, if you try something and you've got some extra steps or some different ways to do some of this, you're free to go out there and change it and improve on it. And, you know, this is the Wired Wiki, so how-to wiki. So it's just like Wikipedia. If you've got information, if you've got a way to do something a little bit differently or a little bit, you know, maybe a little bit more efficiently or whatever, you know, you're free to go out there and do this. You know, I've written an how-to article for the Wired Wiki, and, you know, it's just fun. It's fun, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's just a good way to share knowledge and give people step-by-step instructions on how to do stuff. So I really recommend that people check that out because, you know, it's just amazing. Again, I'm stuck on it, you know, a student-quality microscope and a 5-year-old digital camera. And the stuff that she was able to do, and she even posted a YouTube video of some of the stuff that they did with their micro photography. So check it out. It was just really neat post.
You can get the old Sears 60s, 70s vintage metal microscopes. You know, usually 100 to 300x. I think mine had three lenses in it. Lord, I wish I knew what happened to it. But you can get those on eBay for anywhere between $5 and $20. It'd be a perfectly decent to start. And it's dirt cheap. And those things are built to last forever.
Yeah.
That's true.
That is really cool. All right, that was all good stuff. I got one other thing to bring up before we head on out. I just thought this would be fun information to kind of pass around. Looking at the stats for the blog at this point, I had never done this before, but I drilled down to city level detail on our blog stacks. Some of you guys might have seen me do a little bit on Twitter about this, but Who wants to guess what city we get our most page views
Minneapolis.
From? Minneapolis is
Oakland.
Number nine. Minneapolis is number nine. So I'll have to thank Dan for hitting refresh a lot.
Dan and John.
That's why it's so high up. All right. Any other guesses?
Milwaukee.
Wow. Milwaukee does
not so much,
even
huh?
hit the top 20.
How about Washington?
Okay. Slacking.
What's that, Brian?
I said Russ is totally slacking.
Yeah, okay. Let me go refresh a few more times.
How about Washington?
I don't see. Let me take it further than the top 25.
Oh, really?
Wow.
I don't see DC on there.
Huh.
Let's see. Oh, Arlington is at 31.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Most people who in the, you know, in the D.C. area live outside the D.C. area, the main D.C. area, if that makes any sense.
So here's
New York or someplace like that.
New York. New York is New York is number two.
Okay. Ooh.
San Francisco.
San Francisco is number seven.
Wow.
L.A.?
This blew me away. L.A. is all the way down at... L.A. proper is down about 28. Although, amusingly enough, West Hollywood is at about 13. Oh, there we go. Washington. Washington is 14.
Somebody email Wheaton and tell him to refresh more often.
Yeah, really.
There you go. All right, so here's the bizarre one. London.
Is our number one?
Serious?
And I don't think it's London, Ontario. It is definitely London, England is our number one city. Now, admittedly, United States still, you know, beats out any other country by like 20 to 1. But in terms of city level, here goes the list, starting from top. London, New York, Chicago, Toronto, San Francisco, Seattle, Sydney, Minneapolis, Vancouver, Austin, West Hollywood, Washington, Melbourne, Houston, Portland, Ottawa, Calgary, Montreal, Brooklyn, Cambridge, and I'm not sure whether that's Cambridge, England, or Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Probably Massachusetts.
Dallas, Pittsburgh, and then North Metro, which might be D.C. as well. I'm not sure. And
you
Philadelphia.
Know, one of the reasons why that might be just occurred to me is that in London, most of the metro area is still officially part of
yes.
London.
Whereas in the U.S.,
we have a lot of, you know, cities with outlying areas. So a lot of the people in the metro area wouldn't show up as being, right. you know, from that city.
Right. One of our guests in the chat room asks, what's the highest from Canada? Highest city ranked is Toronto, which is number 6. But I was, you know, first of all, our top city is not an American city. That's totally awesome. Ton of Chicago, ton of Australia. And in terms of the, you know, country level, it sort of makes sense. Number 1 is the United States. Number 2 is Canada. Number 3 is the UK. Number 4 is Australia.
Well, sure. Biggest English-speaking country, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Then we get Germany, Netherlands, Mexico, Spain, France, Sweden.
So, I would have thought, how about India?
India comes in at 15.
Hmm. Just there's a lot of people who speak English.
Yeah. So I thought. Croatia at 17. Philippines at 18. Singapore, 19. Singapore is the last one where we actually get over about 1,000 page views per month.
The person who asked him says that he or she is from Vancouver.
Right, and Vancouver was in the top 20, I think. Let's see, where was it? Oh no, I don't remember. Now I gotta go back. But anyway, just thought
they need to hit refresh more often.
Yeah.
Hey Ken, does Guam show up on there anywhere?
Oh, I don't know. Good question. Hold on,
but there aren't really that many.
I'm just curious.
Yeah,
there aren't that many people in Guam.
No, Vancouver is number 11.
Guam is like 87th.
Are you serious?
Yes. Guam has...
That's all Leah Babauta from Zen Habits.
Does that mean there's nothing else to do in Guam?
Okay, and I think this was a Toronto area city, but I saw this one on there and I had never heard of it before. Let's see, it's Etobicoke? Or Etobicoke? I had to look it up. Etobicoke is the number 51 city, and it's like a suburb of Toronto, but it was such an interesting name. Anyway, I thought that was just kind of cool stuff, and I'm very happy to say that Geek Dad does have representation from at least our top 4 countries. We do have active posters from Canada, from England, and Australia now. So
yep.
I feel good that we are representing our constituency, as it were. So, funky stuff. But other than that, anybody else got anything they want to plug or mention before we close this one up?
I'm working on a post. I will be posting it probably in a week or so, around Pazzizz. I don't know if that's exactly how it's said. It's that website where you download the. Like the sleep and the power nap stuff, the Energizer nap,
and
it's been interesting, you know, to kind of explore that and try that out. So that's something I'm working on, and we'll probably be posting in a week or so on that one as I work my way through some of the advanced features of that software and stuff.
Ooh, I'd be interested to hear that. Because I'm yeah. hooked on listening to the Ambiance app on my iPhone when I go to sleep.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot that you can do with the software. You know, personally, right now I could see, you know, the thing that I would improve on it is, you know, the nice thing is it goes automatically into iTunes. The bad thing is that it loads all these things up as songs. And so when you just do a shuffle, you're jamming along to some Adam and the Ants or whatever, and the next thing you know, you've got the sleep app on. And it's like, okay, so...
Russ, uncheck those items in your list and then set your iPod to only sync checked songs.
I think you can also change the properties on things to say don't include this when I shuffle.
Yeah, and so that's what it's one of the things I'm looking into. Part of me also wants to just take them and turn them into a podcast, an XML file, so that I could load them into the podcast section of my iPod so that I could still have them.
Yeah.
But not have them in the music shuffle. So I'm going to goof around with that stuff too and maybe post on that as well.
That's a good thing to suggest to them too, that you have to be able to make them podcasts rather than songs. Yeah. Although, could you manually when you import them, go in and tweak the metadata?
And that's one of the things I'm going to start messing around with.
Okay. All right. Okay, anybody else?
Juan just asked about your thumb.
Yeah, I guess I had Twittered. Last day or two ago when we. My wife had last week off, and she decided that it was a perfect time to redo the boys' bedroom. And so it all ended up with a mad level of effort over this last weekend to get it finished, so that they could actually move their mattresses back in there and sleep. We used to have, if you've ever seen like my first post on Geek Dad was about this these platform hacked beds and everything. Yeah, hacked IKEA, which we'd done about 3 or 4 years ago. And so all of that is gone now. All taken out, repainted the room, put down some nice flooring, but I injured both thumbs in the effort. One thumb, I was putting up curtain rod, and literally jammed the screw gun into my thumb so that I had a perfect Phillips head entry wound.
Excellent.
And then the weirdest thing in the world was at the end of the day, we're putting together.
There's your title for the podcast.
Oh, Phillips head entry wound?
Yes.
Okay, writing it down. Okay, and then the other thing, something I had never had happen to me before, but through all the effort of the day, especially using the paint rollers and everything, I had so worn out my thumb that at one point when we were putting together this little IKEA sofa, I went to do something, bent my thumb a little bit, and the muscle in my thumb started to cramp and fold my thumb in on itself. I could not unfold my thumb. I had to literally use my other hand to pull it back out and straighten it. And it was a little bit freaky. I've never worn out a finger like that so badly. So terribly exciting, I know. But Juan, I hope you are satisfied with the report. So there, nothing we won't discuss for our listeners.
Can you stick it up towards the webcam there?
Yeah. Well, here's all right. So this is the.
Make sure you pick the right finger.
Right. not real good macro there, but there you can see that little red line there. See the red line on the thumb there. Nobody's responding, so. Yes, much. All right. You're welcome, Juan.
TMI.
Wow. Oh, there you go. No, the streaming is really behind your audio.
Oh, that's the problem. Okay. So talk about exciting podcast content. Yes, you want to see the scar on my thumb? Here it is. Yes.
That'll come across great at the audio version.
In a way, however, it's so apropos that there's this Jaws poster behind me.
Yeah.
If everyone remembers that classic scene, shall we compare scars? All right, that's it. We're done. We're good. All right, then I'm going to thank everybody for joining us tonight. Thank you, Brian.
Certainly, sir.
Thank you, Matt.
You're very welcome, sir.
And thank you, Russ.
Absolutely.
I want to thank the 9 viewers that it says are watching our show right now, and especially Mr. Juan, who has been an active participant tonight. We totally appreciate that. And that's it. I'm Ken Denmead, editor of GeekDad.com. This has been the Geek Dads episode 30, and we will see you in about 2 weeks. So everybody stay safe and have a good time with your kids. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Later.
Go on. Geek Dad.